So we are continuing in our Fam versus Wild series. We've been doing this series out of the book of Exodus that has been in our daily Bible reading. We're out of Exodus now and into Leviticus. And we've been talking about how God has taken the children of Israel and basically turned them from this throng of former slaves into this incredible family, this cohesive fighting force. And that if we will decide to be God's family and be a covenant family with God and do things God's way, even in these wild times, our families can become a cohesive fighting force and not just survive, but thrive even in these most difficult times. And so here in Exodus 32 now, God's affirmed the covenant with Israel and the Ten Commandments and all that. And as you know, he led them out of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea, man, and everything was great and they were dancing and Israel basically just fell in love with God and it was all awesome, man. And God was doing miracles and cloud by day and fire by night. And I mean, you know, they're hungry and God gives them Krispy Kreme donuts every morning. Called manna from heaven. Don't you wish Krispy Kreme was healthy for you? I'm telling you, whoever can do that is going to make a lot of money. But he's giving them Krispy Kreme, healthy Krispy Kreme donuts every morning and meat at night and just everything's great. Now God is up on the mountain with Moses. And in verse 32, chapter 32, verse 1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. Everybody say delayed. So here's the first time they're everything's been going great in their relationship with God. This is the first time they're feeling a little bit distant. It says they're delayed coming down from the mountain, and the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, make us gods that shall go before us. For is this man Moses, I mean this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. We're feeling distant. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and daughters and bring them to me. So all the people broke off their golden earrings. They brought them to Aaron. He received the gold from them, from their hand, and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. We've been talking about in these series one of God's main things that he was trying to get into the children of Israel. It's the very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. In Egyptian culture, remember Israel, they were polytheists. They worshiped many gods. God's judgment on the land of Egypt was against some of the main gods that people worshiped in Egypt. So once we see this issue popping up here, they're like, man, we're feeling distant. Make us a calf. And look at this. Verse 5, it says, so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. So we're going to make this golden calf, but God approves this. This is going to actually be a feast to the Lord. Because surely God doesn't want you unhappy. He doesn't want you losing that loving feeling. So surely worship, this God wants you happy, so yeah. We'll just make this golden calf and make it a feast to the Lord. Yeah, he approves. It says, then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. That means they were saying like, this is from God. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play and they danced the night away. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, they've corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I've commanded them. They have made for themselves a molded calf and worshipped it, sacrificed to it, and said, this is your God, O Israel, brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, that indeed they are a stiff-necked or a hard-hearted people. Now in verse 19, so it was as soon as he came near the camp. You better look out. Because Moses is mad. As soon as they came near the camp and the dancing, Moses' anger became hot and he cast the tablets. Here's the Ten Commandments. He cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. You know, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you? What'd they do to you? What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. Oh, like Moses wasn't already angry. He said, you know the people that they are set on evil. We're going to continue in our Fam versus Wild series today, and I have entitled this message, Wild Love. Wild Love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, for these next 25 minutes or so. God, I ask for an open heaven. God, I ask for hungry hearts that want to hear your word, Lord, and put it into practice. I know that your word is going to change lives today. It's going to change marriages. It's going to save relationships, and it's going to save people. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. So I was coming off my jet lag, and Carrie and I, Friday night, we rented a movie. There was this movie called I Am 4. How many of you have seen the movie I Am? I Am 4. So yeah, pretty good movie. That's what I like when I'm coming off a jet lag, you know, some kind of mindless, you know, alien invasion, violent type of movie where a lot of things are blown up and stuff like that. So Carrie and I rent this movie, I Am 4, and it's basically about, you know, there's these aliens on the earth, and this guy's number 4, and these aliens are good to humans and all this kind of stuff, but they're these other aliens from their former planet, and they're like chasing down these aliens that are on the earth and trying to kill them and all this stuff. And so obviously I Am 4, he's the fourth one, he's on the list to die, and he's beating the bad aliens, and he falls in love with a human girl, or he's falling in love with this human girl. And so it's towards the end of the movie, and they're kind of talking about, you know, how their relationship would work or how their relationship could work. And he says this statement, and he says, you know, for us aliens, it's love is different than it is with you, than for you humans. For us aliens, when we love somebody, it's forever. It's not like with you humans. But when we aliens, when we fall in love with someone, we stay in love with them for the rest of our lives. Our love's forever. And I thought, how sad that now in our culture, staying in love with one person is now seen as an alien superpower. I mean, Carrie and I were watching the movie a lot, like when he said, you know, it's different. Us aliens, we're different than you humans. When we love someone, we stay in love with them forever. It's forever. And I thought, I can't believe this, that our culture has gotten to the point where staying in love with one person is seen as an alien superpower. You know, and ironically, you know, if you look around, our culture would say, yes, it's difficult to stay in love. I mean, the statistics are there. You know, I mean, divorce rate is over 60%. Unfaithfulness is even higher than that. Did you know that this year, 40% of babies born in America are going to be born in fatherless homes? 40% of children are going to be born to unwed mothers with no fathers. There's no model of staying in love. But ironically, as difficult as maybe some people would say almost impossible, like you need an alien superpower to stay in love with someone, as difficult it is as our society thinks it is to stay in love, it has never been easier to fall in love. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Our culture, falling in love. Did you know there are over 1,000 organizations and websites right now? Listen, you can fall in love in the next 90 days or your money back. I mean, it is so easy to fall in love these days. I mean, here's all these websites. It's a money back guarantee. I mean, like, you know, on the iPhone, there's an app now called the Love Calculator. You just meet someone. Okay, you're attracted to them. They're cute. Y'all nice to each other. If you're a Christian, I mean, obviously that's a big deal for a believer. Can I have a good amen? If you are a believer in Christ, you need that other person to be a believer as well. So you just entered in. Yeah, he's cute. Yeah, I like this. He likes that. Or she likes this, and I like that. And we're both Christian. Do, 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 do. Yeah, yeah, we in love. It is so easy to fall in love. Can I tell you this? There are thousands. If you're single, there are thousands. There are millions of people you could fall in love with. It's never been easier. Some of you are in church today, and you are here to fall in love. I see who you're sitting by. You've been planning this Sunday for weeks. You're a guy. You know where she's been sitting, and now you're all up in there next to her. I mean, they got things now, speed dating. You can fall in love in 10 minutes. Speed date. Look, you don't got time. I'm not knocking any of these things. I think it's great. I think it's great that it's never been so easy to fall in love. I mean, speed dating. You just set out some tables. Here's how they do. You set out tables with different people at each table, and you spend 10 minutes. You get a coffee. You're like, how you doing? How you doing? You da, 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 da. Okay, we're done. I don't know about you. I'm going now. And then you go to the next table, and that's where you have your salad. Da, 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 da. And then you go to the next table and you have your meal. And then you go and you get like 5 dates in 45 minutes. Then you narrow them down to 3. It has never been easier to fall in love. In our culture, our society, we have put falling in love on this huge pedestal. We are in love with falling in love. We are attracted to the art of attraction. We are romantic about romance itself. And we put so much value on falling in love and hardly any value on staying in love. But unfortunately, it is staying in love that brings people the fulfillment that they're looking for when they're trying to fall in love. Amen. And here's the thing about God. God has not called you to fall in love. He's called you to stay in love. God hasn't called you to fall in love. He's called you to stay in love. Now, obviously, part of staying in love is falling in love. But the way God looks at love is it's a covenant loyalty. He calls us to stay in love with the person that we marry. So the issue is not, you know, can you fall in love? Falling is love. It is so easy these days to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love. Come on, it's so easy. It's so easy. Get the iPhone app. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so easy, just speed date. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so easy, it's so easy. To buy somebody cute at church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is so easy to fall in love. Now I got like 5 love songs in my head. I'm going to try to only sing 3 of them or 4 during this message. But this is what God is trying to teach the children of Israel here. What he's going to teach them here, this episode with the golden calf, is it's not about falling in love, but it's about staying in love. And here are the children of Israel. Sure enough, I mean, they come through the Red Sea. Oh, they fell in love with God. Oh, it was such a great honeymoon, and God delivered us, and we dancing, and we Miriam singing, and it's all great, and God's doing all these great things for us. We're feeling it, man. We are romancing. But then all of a sudden, it gets to the point in their relationship, and they start feeling distant. Moses was delayed in coming. There was a delay. It was the first time they felt distant. And all of a sudden, it was like, man, we're feeling distant here. I mean, I'm not feeling like I felt when I came through the Red Sea. I'm losing that loving feeling. In fact, I think you've lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. Well, we're going to sing today, so just... I mean, I'm losing that love and feeling. I don't feel distant. You know, it's just not like it was before. You know, now that I think about it, you know, it's things that it's kind of gotten mundane, you know, and now that I think about it, you know, that calf's all shiny. I need something new. I need something shiny in my life. Now I think about God, he's always in that cloud, that old gray cloud, old mundane. That calf's so shiny, so new. And I know God wants me happy, right? So not only can I go after this new shiny thing, but you know, God wants this. We're going to make this a festival to the Lord. Yeah, you know, in fact, I'm a different person. And when, you know, I met God, you know, way back when, you know, I was different. Now I've changed, my personality changed. In fact, I really don't know if that was love, and I'm not feeling these loving feelings. And I've been watching these movies. And I want a husband like that werewolf that loves Bella. And these movies, I want a husband like that. But you're a guy.
You're like, man, I'm just not feeling it anymore, man. I don't know, you know, I wasn't saved when I dated my wife. I don't know, things have changed now. And, you know, there's this girl at work. Man, she cute. She likes me, man. She cute. Oh, really? How old is she? She's 25.
Everybody looks good at 25, man. Are you kidding me? Who doesn't look good at 25? You should have seen me at 25. You're going to give up. Here's your wife that has borne your kids and proven herself. Man, she's aged with beauty. Man, she's like that leather. She's like a fine wine. She's like a diamond. You're going to give all that up to go after this new shiny thing? See, but here's the thing. It's not that the person is the new shiny calf. It's this thing that we have in our culture about falling in love. When we've got to get those feelings and all that. And that's why you see a society right now. You see the divorce rate 60%. You see fatherless homes. You see celebrities on their fourth, fifth, and sixth marriage. They're all still trying to fall in love, and they don't realize what they're looking for is to stay in love. And it's only when you stay in love, that's what brings the satisfaction. So when God wants us happy and, you know, so we're going to do this golden calf. We're going to do the shiny thing. And here's what God says. He tells Moses this. He says, I need you to get down right now. He says, the children of Israel, they've corrupted themselves. In other words, they've taken on this way of thinking that has corrupted them and is only going to destroy them. See, our society, our culture, we've corrupted ourselves. Because we don't even know what love is. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more, no more, no more. Ding, 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 ding. What is love? Ding, 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 ding. Don't hurt me. Ding, 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 ding. Don't hurt me. Ding, 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 ding. No more. Sorry. How many songs do I have left? I got two more? Okay. And this is what God's trying to say. They don't understand. It's not about falling in love. It's about covenant loyalty. It's about faithfulness. It's about staying in love. So Moses goes down. He grinds the calf to powder. Oh, that shiny thing didn't turn out that shiny. Didn't stay shiny for very long. And they actually drank it, and it was bitter. It's the exact same word that's used out of Proverbs 5 where it talks about, oh, that forbidden person, that woman, that adulterous affair. Oh, it looks so good initially. But in the end, it is bitter as wormwood. God says, look, I haven't called you. Every time you feel distant, every time you don't have that loving feeling, every time you don't feel like things are going your way or things get too hard or things get too painful. And listen, I want to say this right now. I know that everybody is at a different place. Listen, I come from a divorced home. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. I'm not talking about where you've been or what you've done. I'm talking about from this day forward, you making up your mind that your relationship or your future relationship is not going to be just about falling in love, but it's going to be about staying in love. And I'm going to show you out of God's word how to do it so you can be fulfilled and live your life with no regrets. You can clap right there. Think about our society. What if our society, I'm all for the 1,000 dating websites and falling in love and all the moody movies and how do I know and love apps and 90 day money, but I'm all for all of it. But just what if we took a little bit of that energy and started valuing staying in love? What if we had websites where how to stay in love? What if we had some of those helps to help us stay in love? You think our society would be a little bit more healthy? God hasn't called us just to fall in love. He's called us to stay in love. That's why, right out of Genesis 2:24, that's why he's speaking of Adam. He says, look, for this cause, man's going to leave his father and mother. It doesn't say, and he's going to fall in love with his wife. It says he's going to cleave or cling unto his wife. In other words, he's going to stay with her. That's where the power is. That's where the fulfillment is. That's where the lasting romance is. It's not in the falling, it's in the staying. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't say in John 3:16, for God so fell in love with the world that he gave. How many of you know we didn't have a whole lot to fall in love? We didn't have a whole, no, God says, look, my love for you, it's not that wishy-washy stuff. It is covenant loyalty. It is faithfulness. I love you with an everlasting love. You are my number one. For God so loved the world that he gave. When Jesus says a new commandment that I give you, he didn't say, here's a new commandment. I want you to fall in love with one another. No, he says, here's a new commandment. Love. It's not falling in love. It's love one another. In our media, man, it's just out there and you can't get away from it. And it's just fall in love and all the romance and all this stuff. We need to get back to know, stay in love, stay in love, stay in love. I want my husband, I need someone that loves me like the werewolf or the vampire or the green hornet or the alien. We have all these shows. We have Sex in the City. How about sex with your husband? Whatever happened to that? What's Sex in the City? Like, we in the city. We're going to get it on here. We're going to get it on there. We city sexing. You know, I mean, and all the shows, this is, you know, 2.5 men and Desperate Housewives, Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh my gosh. All the shows about men cheating and doing all their stuff. You go to the grocery store, it's cosmopolitan. It's everywhere. You know what? It just bombards us. You can't stay in love. You can't stay in love. It's not about saying just fall in love, fall in love. You get tired with them, go after something shiny. You got down for a while, it's going to bring bitterness, but forget that. Just go after the next shiny thing. And then just go after the next shiny thing. Oh, there's a vampire for you. There's a werewolf for you. There's a Frankenstein for you. There. Because you deserve love, right? You deserve to be happy. It's not happiness. It'll never bring you happiness. Now, here's something I've learned about marriage. You know what? Marriage is only hard when you're selfish. Mm-hmm. And you thought you was going to come in here and get you a little foo-foo word and go on to your Memorial Day barbecue. Ain't happening that way, is it? And can I tell you this, in marriage, that's what Carrie and I have, if you have the kind of marriage that's like, well, you know, if you do this, then I'll do this. And I've got my 3 hours of free time, and so I'm going to get my 3 hours of free time. And I'm going to, listen, it will never work. It will never work. There's going to be times when you're more selfish. There's going to be times when she's more selfish. Like with Carrie and I, there's times when I'm more selfish, and then there's times when I'm a whole lot more selfish. And then there's times where I'm really, really selfish. There's degrees of selfishness. That's why I told you, men, the best of marriage advice I could give you is learning how to say I'm sorry. Every morning, the first thing you do when you wake up, you look at your wife and you just say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I promise you, here's what they're going to say. Thank you. I was waiting for you to say that. Biblical love, it's covenant loyalty, the kind of love that God's talking about. It's not this wild love. It's this sustaining, biblical, faithful, covenantal love. It's the, in fact, in the New Testament, there's a word that you see. In the Old Testament as well, it's called loving kindness. That's the closest word that describes God's type of covenantal, loyal love. It is an action. It is the action of covenant loyalty. Loving kindness, it implies honor, it implies devotion, it implies forgiveness, it implies commitment, it implies respect. Loving kindness. God says, I want you to love one another just as I've loved you. Now, I'm going to unpack that in a minute because what a lot of people, in fact, go to Ephesians, I'll close with this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, because a lot of people, they hear that, they're like, man, love my wife as Christ loves the church. I mean, come on, who can do that? Right? Oh, and then you wives. Oh, wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ and everything. And you're like, yeah, right. So look at this, Ephesians 5. I think we get into these marriage scriptures and we forget the context of them, and I want to pick it up here. This is all in the context. Look at 5:18b. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Did you know the fruit of the Spirit is loving kindness? The fruit of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. How many of you need some love, joy, peace, patience, loving kindness, gentleness? How many of you need that in your marriage? That's why the Bible says we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wives, don't be the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all right. The guys are going to get theirs in a second. Look what it says. It says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. See, that's why I'm singing to y'all. I won't do another one. Or maybe I will. No. Look. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, in your marriage, can I say this? You have to celebrate the good. Giving thanks to God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're always just focusing on the negative and not celebrating the good, you're going to drive a wedge in your relationship. You have to celebrate the good with the challenges. Goes on to say, it says, look, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Guys, did you hear that? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Some of you are like, I've never seen that before. That predicates the next scripture that all the men like. So it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So let me wrap this all up in this, because here's what we think. Oh, man, I can never love my wife like Jesus. And the wife thinks, man, I can never submit to my husband like I submit to Christ. Listen, here's the principle. Here's what God is talking about here. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the relationship between Christ and the church and Christ, husband and wife, wife and husband. Okay. from our perspective, the church, is Jesus the most important person to the church? And is the church the most important person to Jesus? Absolutely. So here's what God is saying. If you want to stay in love, your spouse has to be the most important person in your life. They've got to be number one. In other words, God's not talking about you being perfect like Jesus and all this different stuff like that and getting all that. Basically, the principle that he's talking about here is this. Look, just as the church is Jesus's number one and Jesus is the church's number one, outside of God, your husband needs to be number one and your wife needs to be number one. They have to be number one. They have to be. If you want to stay in love, your spouse has to be the most important person in your life, above your parents, above your kids, above your friends. So are you going to stay in love? Well, let me just ask you the question. Are, by action, covenant love, by action, are you making your spouse number one? Is your spouse the most important person in your life? Not what you say, by what you do. Are they the most important person in your life? Because I tell you this, back to the movie, I Am Number Four. If your spouse is number four, you are going to need some type of alien superpower to stay in love. They can't be number four. They can't be number three. They can't be number two. Outside of God, they got to be number one. You can fall in love with anybody. Well, not anybody, but you can fall in love with a lot of people. But it's a whole different deal to stay in love. So the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You find a wife, good, that's a good thing. No big deal, there's a bunch of them out there. But if you want that good thing to go to a great thing, you're going to have to not only fall in love, but you're going to have to stay in love. And I'm telling you, your wife has to be your number one. You got to make her your top priority. God's called you to covenant love. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you can not only fall in love, but you can stay in love. Your romance can grow. The feelings will be there. You'll have the satisfaction that everybody's looking for because you're doing marriage God's way. And I can honestly say with Carrie now, we've been married 16 years now, right? Honey? And I did find an incredible wife. And it keeps getting, and you know, you have seasons of distance. But that's not the time to pull back. It's the time to press forward. You see, and God brings it together. And it goes in, and you grow through all those seasons of life. He hadn't called us just to fall in love. I mean, we can, that's out there. That's the beginning of staying in love. But he's called us to stay in love. You got to make your spouse number one. When you said those vows, when you said I do, that's what you said I do to. From this point forward, I'm going to make you number one for the rest of my life. You're the most important person. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I just pray right now. Father, move in our hearts. Lord, wherever we are in marriage, we'll be married in the future. Maybe some of us will be married again. Like I said, I don't want anyone to feel condemned. I come from a divorced home. Almost every couple on my street got divorced when I was between the ages of 10 and 12. I come from a divorced home. I understand nobody's perfect. I understand the world that we live in. I understand our kind of church and the people that we reach. Lord, I just thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for a fresh start today. And Lord, I thank you that we are going to value, as a church and as the people of God, we're not just going to value falling in love, Lord, but we're going to value staying in love. That's what you've called us to. So I'm just going to ask you now, what God has spoken to you this message, how are you going to respond? What are you going to do about it? Father, we just commit our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.